Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to this, the 23rd episode of the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, head of the Jimmy Stewart Fan Club at the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas, where we never stop watching the classics. Years ago, we offered up a feature that still draws traffic and lots of reactions titled Casting a Remake of It's a Wonderful Life. It was written when there was a push a few years back to actually do a remake. It was in Variety and everything that they were going to remake It's a Wonderful Life. And the very idea of that set off a firestorm of opinion that's never really abated. Everyone, it seems, has a connection to It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know what yours is, but mine is George Bailey.
Have a hectic day?
Oh, yeah. Another big red letter day for the Baileys.
George Bailey is easily identifiable to anyone who is a husband or a father who supports a family or who has a hardworking dad. He is an everyday regular guy. When we watch It's a Wonderful Life, we see ourselves in George Bailey. So much of what he says and what he does, well, we've said and we've done.
I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now look, you mustn't talk like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else.
No, now you don't understand. I've got my job.
Oh, shut up, will you?
But what makes George Bailey so relatable comes more from the guy playing him, Mr. James Stewart. And he is exactly why It's a Wonderful Life can never be remade. Ever. Just as the modern American man in George Bailey doesn't exist anymore, neither does the kind of actor that Jimmy Stewart was exist anymore. If he does, show him to me. And I mean that sincerely, with no disrespect for anyone who might want to take on the part of George Bailey. I just don't think there is a man on God's green earth who could pull it off. In the 70 years since It's a Wonderful Life was made, the world has really, really changed. It has become so diverse, and the seemingly singular definition of a man, that of provider, protector, and partner in building the American family and living the American dream, has all changed. It isn't so easily defined anymore. You can split it up in a million different ways in defining it, and that might not have necessarily been so true 70 years ago, and it causes me to question, give It's a Wonderful Life another 70 years, and will it hold up? Will George Bailey be a hero to my grandchildren?
Wait a minute. Now, you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny ante building alone, I'll never know. But neither you nor anybody else can say anything against his character, because his whole life was, why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy? He didn't save enough money to send Harry to school, let alone me. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? Well, here, you're all businessmen here. Don't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers? You said that they, what'd you say just a minute ago? They had to wait and save their money before they even thought of a decent home? Wait for what? Until their children grow up and leave them, until they're so old and broken down that do you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so.
What many people don't know when they watch Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey today is where Jimmy Stewart was coming from when that movie was made. Jimmy Stewart, like other movie stars and baseball players and other celebrities of the time, wanted to join the armed services at the onset of World War II. And I'm not too sure we'd even see that today, but Stewart was one of those who was very eager to serve. And he had a hard time. Stewart was 6'3", but he weighed only about 140 pounds, and he was just too skinny to make it in the military. While others wanting to serve had to lie about their age, Stewart had to get the screening personnel to fudge his weight just to get in. Stewart's war record, however, was far different than just about any other celebrity who served in World War II. He went into the Army in March 1941. Now think about that. This is months before Pearl Harbor, before America's sure entrance into the war. And he was a major movie star. And that proved to be a pretty major distraction for the Army. When he underwent basic training at Moffett Field, California, crowds of girls would wait just outside the gates, waiting for any kind of show of Private Stewart. The situation was so out of hand that the Army had to put up signs warning the public to just leave the poor guy alone. For more than 5 years, Stewart served in the Army and slowly rose in positions of leadership and responsibility as he learned to fly. By 1944, he was a major, and he saw combat for more than 15 consecutive months, flying dozens of missions and seeing the worst that the war had to offer all that time. He talked about it somewhat after he returned home in the context of being a leader in the military. Fear, he said, is an insidious thing. It can warp judgment, freeze reflexes, breed mistakes, and worse, it's contagious. I felt my own fear and knew that if it wasn't checked, it could infect my crew members. Stewart's natural leadership abilities were well regarded by the men who served under him, and he came home very highly decorated. When he retired years later, Stewart was a brigadier general. And yet all this information he later really kind of suppressed. The reality of life when he came home was that Hollywood was way in his distant past. 5 years is a long time for anybody to be gone, and when he left, he was on top. He was the leading man of men in Hollywood in 1940. But in 1945, he was not. When he came back, his hair was gray, and he didn't even have an idea where to even land a part. He spent about a week to 10 days at home with his parents, and then he went back to Hollywood where he stayed in an extra room that was offered to him by Henry Fonda. While Stewart was still known, nobody was rushing in to offer him projects, and there was a reason for that. He came back looking like hell. Stars like Gregory Peck with the broad shoulders and chiseled chin were getting the attention while the slump-shouldered and skinny Jimmy Stewart couldn't find a job. After a couple of months, another Hollywood legend in the name of Frank Capra called, and he too had little going on. But he was enamored of this story that had been passed over by different studios that told about a guy who was going to commit suicide on Christmas Eve. And when Jimmy Stewart heard it, well, he wasn't having it. "I have to make a comedy," Stewart said. "The world has seen too much drama and horror and suffering." Well, certainly those war years had shown Stewart enough. He had come home with all the classic symptoms of PTSD. In fact, those final 6 months of his service in the Army, Stewart was grounded because of his PTSD issues. He was nervous. He was stressed. He had the shakes and nightmares. He was prone to fits of anger and depression. All the classic signs were there for one who had been through so much. Some today say that this is where all the edgy rage in George Bailey comes from.
"Hello, who's this? Oh, Mr. Welch. Okay, that's fine, Mr. Welch. Give me a chance to tell you what I really think of your wife.
George,
will you
George.
Get out and let me handle this? Hello. Hello, what? Oh, you will, huh? Okay, Mr. Welch, anytime you think you're man enough, you... Hello. Any...
Dad, how do you spell hallelujah?
How should I know? What do you think I am, a dictionary? Tommy, stop that. Stop it. Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You play it over and over again. Now stop it. Stop it."
Well, of course, Capra and Stewart make the film, and neither, years later, would say, did they ever consider while they were making it to be a Christmas movie. Not for a second. The film scored several Oscar nominations, including one for Best Actor for Stewart. But he didn't win the Oscar, and it put him back in Hollywood in a big way. That was about the big payoff of It's a Wonderful Life for Jimmy Stewart. Because eventually, or ultimately, I should say, the movie flopped. Not only did it tank at the box office, but studio folks wanted to forget about the whole thing as quickly as possible, and It's a Wonderful Life didn't see the light of day after that for decades. For Stewart, though, he was very careful to make sure his private military life remained separate from his movie life. He refused to be acknowledged for his war service, and his contracts later forbade the use of his war record in promoting his movies. Through rather conventional means, Jimmy Stewart once again became a major Hollywood star, starting more or less at the bottom and again working his way to the top. But in everyday life, Jimmy Stewart did what other post-war GIs did. He got married and he had a family. Naturally, the home life of Jimmy Stewart, husband and father, featured the robust celebration at Christmas. Years later, his daughter Kelly said, "My dad dressed as Santa Claus and came into our bedroom. My sister and I were astounded," she said, speaking of Christmas 1958, when these twin daughters were just kids. "I slapped him on the back and nudged him, but he just carried on as Santa," she recalled. Never once did he break out of character. As the years and the Christmases rolled by, Jimmy Stewart marked Christmas as dads everywhere did and do. He doted on his children, and he decorated. The family always spent a long time decorating the Christmas tree, mostly because Jimmy Stewart himself was rather fussy about how the tinsel was hung. Not surprisingly, another Christmas tradition in the Stewart household was watching a favorite Christmas movie, a little old film called It's a Wonderful Life. In later years, Stewart was famous for declaring that it was the favorite of all the movies he had made. But there was another Christmas movie in the works for Stewart, long after the glory days of his acting career had settled down.
"Why, thank you, Mr.
Kruger, Willie Kruger. I'm the custodian here."
"Oh, how nice."
Stewart was recruited to play an elderly character by the name of Willie Kruger for a short film that would be produced in about 1979. When the first-time producer of the short film showed up at Stewart's house to talk about the part, he was shocked to see an old, tired, and frail Jimmy Stewart answer the door. He walked slow. He talked slow. And all while during this exchange, the producer wondered if Jimmy Stewart, the acting legend, could really do it after all. One of the producers who was with them very carefully asked, "How active do you want to be in this role?" Stewart then stood up straight, took off his glasses, and replied in a strong voice that betrayed his earlier frail stature. And he asked, "You mean how active do you want Kruger to be?" The producer suddenly realized that Stewart had been auditioning for the part by becoming Willie Kruger in person. One of the reasons Jimmy Stewart agreed to make the short film was because it would give him, a lifelong Presbyterian, the chance to conduct the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. But he was also touched by the message of the film. Said Stewart, "Christmas has come to be connected with Santa Claus, gifts, lights, decoration, trees, and such. We may be guilty of forgetting that Christmas is really about the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ." During the filming of the movie, Stewart approached one scene with great seriousness. It was the scene of him talking to Jesus. Before filming that scene began, he announced, "I've only got one of these in me. Everyone who doesn't need to be here, get them out. Tell them I want this to go well. I can do other takes, but this will be the right one. There will be only one." And there was only one. After the scene was finished, even the cameraman was in tears.
"I'm Willie Kruger. I'm custodian over at the Beck Apartments. But you know that, don't you? You know that. I guess nobody here can see me or hear me except you. You. I didn't bring a gift. I guess that's not important. Thank you for everything you've done for me. As long as I can remember, you've been right by my side. I'll never forget when you walked with me right in those first few hours after I lost Martha. I have always been able to count on you when I felt dark inside and when I... And you were right there, right? Every time. Right there. Even when I didn't feel good about myself, I knew that you cared for me enough. That made me feel better. Like the time I got mad with Mabel Huntington because she broke her pipes on purpose, just so she could have somebody to see while I came up and fixed them for her. Boy, I hollered at her, I hollered real loud. But then I got to thinking that you love Mabel just as much as you love me, and I should treat her the way you'd want me to. I believe I talked to you about that at the time. I started visiting her, and we became friends, and I saw her almost every day until the day she died. I love you. You're my closest, my finest friend, and that means that I can hold my head high wherever I go. Thank you.
Rare is the life that has spent so much on stage and yet is so normal in sentiment and values. This is why we love George Bailey, and this is why we love Jimmy Stewart. If there were a Hall of Fame for Christmas, Stewart would be one of the first to be inducted. Join us at the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas, where we enjoy year-round discussion on this and other topics related to Christmas, and where you can get the full-blown, full-hour episode of the Merry Podcast as one of our premier members. With more than 60 episodes, you're sure to find Christmas year-round. From all of us at My Merry Christmas, this is Jeff Westover, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.